good morning.
Good morning, Chair. Good morning, members. Chair, we're just waiting for Ms. Matabula and Mr. Benny to join the platform so that we can continue, because at present we've only got 3 members in attendance and we've got 4 apologies.
Okay. Right. But it's almost 10 now. We'll have to decide if they finally don't join. We'll have to decide whether I should continue with the meeting or not. But yeah, it's already 10. I don't know how much time we should give them.
Chair, maybe just 5 minutes. But Ms. Matabula did say that she was having a challenge with load shedding, so she would also be in and out. So that's also presenting a challenge. But maybe let's just give them 5 minutes and if they because I've already spoken to them.
Okay.
So here's Mr. Apeni joining now.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so we can start.
Then we can start. All right. No, thank you very much. Let me formally then open the meeting.
This meeting is being recorded.
And welcome, honorable members, and a special welcome to Honorable Moimang, who was out of the country for the past 2 weeks, if not more. Also, good morning to the management team of the Department of Tourism, the staff of the committee, and the staff of the parliament. Good morning. This morning we are going to be dealing with the annual report of the Department of Tourism 2021-2022. Perhaps let's then start with those who are present, and also if there are any apologies.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, in attendance today, we've got yourself, Honorable Moimang, Honorable Mashodi, and Honorable Pleni. We've got apologies from, and also in terms of staff, we've got my co-committee secretary, Ms. Dine Zulu, our content advisor, Mr. Sishuba, our committee assistant, Mr. Bazir, and also our researcher, Mr. Hanif. We have 4 apologies, Chair. We've got apologies from Honorable Bashoff, Honorable Lant, Honorable Brautasef, and Honorable Dango, as well as Honorable Mamarahana. Sorry, we've got 5 apologies. And there's also apologies from the Deputy Minister as well, Chair.
Yeah, got a number of apologies. Let's then continue with the meeting. Let me hand over then to, or before that, we suggested, in fact, we wrote to the department to request the department to brief us on the annual report. But also in one of the committee meetings, there was a request by one of the members that perhaps we should get an update on the matter of a project or facility that was in the Northern Cape when we had an oversight visit in the Northern Cape. We then got a presentation about all the projects, an updated version, representation of all the projects. But because we won't have a time, we will note the presentation. I've also noticed that this specific project is also covered in the annual report. So we won't, but we'll deal with the annual report and also the section on the update with regard to this particular project that is in the Northwest. Let me then hand over to the acting DG of the Department of Tourism.
Good Good morning, Honourable Chair and Honourable Members. Thank you very much, Honourable Chair. As the committee has indicated, the DM is actually at a portfolio committee at the same time at the moment, Honourable Chair. And the DG is on study leave. So the team that is present is, of course, you're familiar with all of the DDGs. DDG Milan, DDG Ngwenya, and DDG Setswaba. You may not be familiar though with our new CFO, Ms. Mane. However, for continuity and for closure, the presentation on the financials will be done by Mr. Mohit Maharaj, who was acting CFO at the I think the team is also then accompanied by Ms. Mamzamo Bengu, who you are familiar with, who is in charge of strategy and development. Chair, I think we'll go straight into the presentation itself with your permission. Juanita, if you're able to project it for us, and we'll double check that everyone can see it.
Yes, we can see.
Many thanks. So the good news for the last financial year, which is 20, achieved an unqualified audit outcome.
Sorry, can we have it
as a presentation?
Yes.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you. Juanita, if we could move down. So the department received an unqualified audit about that because behind the scenes, the department has been working quite hard to ensure that the issues that were raised in the previous audit were in fact addressed. We also in this financial year, it's important to say, also didn't have any new cases of irregular expenditure. If we can then move down through the performance review, I think the committee is familiar with our constitutional mandate, which is derived from the Act, and all of the policy work that we have. In terms of our performance overview, the department received an overall achievement of 81.82%, with 45 of the 55 targets in our APP having been achieved. 8 of the 55 were not achieved, but there was significant work done, and 2 of these were not achieved by the end of the financial year with delays. In terms of corporate management, the team achieved 87.5%, 14 of their 16 targets. Tourism research policy and international relations met 11 of their 12 targets and achieved 91.67%. Destination development achieved all of their targets and achieved 100%. And tourism sector support services was at 61.11%, having achieved 11 of the 18 targets. Each DDG then will speak to these various areas of achievement and non-achievement when they get to those slides. If we could go down, Juanita. Yeah. This then, Chair, is just in graphic format, a summary of the achievement. Next slide. And that's the overall achievement. I think at this point, Chair, I will hand over to Mr. Mohit Maharaj, who will take us through the financial information. He'll be followed then by DDG Ngwenya and DDG Milan, myself again for destination development, and then DDG Setswaba. So over to you, Mohit.
Can we just see the picture of, the picture of the new CFO before we get the financial information from Mr. Mara?
Indeed. Malemane, if you could perhaps turn on your camera. And there is Ms. Maponya, the Honourable Chair. I hope you're able to see her.
From my side, I can't. I don't know if members can see.
No, Chair, we don't see her.
Oh, I do. I also don't see her.
Okay, Chair, might be your settings. We can unshare the presentation, and then I think Ms. Malemane will actually appear on the screen. Juanita, if you can unshare for a little bit. Are you now perhaps able to see her, Chair?
Not from my side. I don't know if Honorable Aplin can see.
Perhaps Malemane.
No, Chair, I don't see her.
Perhaps
you can't see her.
Must greet Malemane.
Other members can see?
You can't see, Chair.
Oh, yeah. All of us can see.
The staff members can see, Chair.
Oh, you can see?
Yes,
let me go to the gallery. Oh yeah, okay. I can see now from the gallery. Yeah, okay. I went to the gallery. Yeah, I can see her. No, thanks so much. Yeah, welcome.
Thank you, Chair. Juanita, if you can share again and go to the financial slides, and we'll hand over to Mohib.
Thank you, DG. Good morning to Chairperson, Portfolio Committee members and colleagues. In the year under review, we have spent 99.
The Select Committee, Mr. Marash.
The members of the Select Committee, good morning to you all. In the year under review, we've spent 99.7% of our budget, and we had a 0.3% variance in terms of our budget. Your final appropriation for the year was 2.545 billion, and our actual expenditure for the year was 2.538 billion, giving us the actual variance of 7.6 million rand. If we move to the next slide, this slide gives us a program by program breakdown of our expenditure. We had a final allocation of 2.545 billion. We spent 2.537 billion, which is 99.7% of our budget spent. The variance is 7.562 million, which is a 0.3% variance. Taking it program by program, the first program is program administration. We had an allocation of 288.496 million, and all of that budget allocation was spent. Program two, tourism research policy and international relations. We had a final allocation of 1.362 billion. We spent 1.358 billion, giving us a variance of 4.014 million. And the spending was 99.7%. The bulk of this underspending lies within the compensation of employees due to the strict policies that the department had to maintain to reduce expenditure on salaries and wages. This accounts for 2.027 million. Savings under goods and services were mainly attributable to the effects of COVID-19 restrictions, resulting in fund linked to travel and subsistence, and this is amounting to 1.004 million. And then we had a further underspending in terms of what we realized under transfers and subsidies for the UNWTO contributions. This was due to exchange rate fluctuations and amounting to 204,000. And then we had the savings and the National Tourism Research Framework of 800,000. So that was for program two. Program three, destination development. We had a final allocation of 530.5 million. We spent 527.185 million. That is a 99.4% spending. The actual variance was 3.339 million for that particular program, which is a 0.6% variance. The bulk of this understanding lies within goods and services of the EPWP program, as contracts could not be concluded before year end for this minor amount of 2.026 million. We also had savings under compensation of employees, and again, it was due to strict policies maintained by the department to contain the salaries and wages bill, and that amounted to 1.314 million. Moving on to Program 4, Tourism Sector Support Services, the final allocation was 363.747 million. The expenditure was 363.538 million, which is a 99.9% spending. The actual variance was 209,000, which is a 0.1% variance. The minor underspending within this program is due to unspent funds linked to the NTCE. Essentially, the cost of the event claimed by the event partner was actually less than the budgeted cost, resulting in a slight saving under transfers and subsidies, and this was 209,000. Should be borne in mind that money set aside for transfers and subsidies cannot be used for anything else, so we couldn't use that money for anything else. That is an overview of our spending program by program. If we move on to the next slide. So this gives us a breakdown of our spending per economic classification. Under compensation of employees, we had a final allocation of 340.793 million. We spent 337.452 million, which is a 99% spending on compensation. The actual variance was 3.341 million. Under goods and services, we had a final allocation of 420.289 million. And our expenditure was 417.261 million, which is a 99.3% spending. The variance is 3.028 million. Under transfers and subsidies, departmental agencies and accounts, we had a budget of 1.562 billion, with 1.562 billion. We spent 1.562 billion, and there's minor variance of 211,000, which is a 99.99% spending. Under foreign governments and international organizations, we had a budget of 2.641 million. 2.437 million of that was spent, which is a 92.3% spending, and the variance was 204,000. In non-profit institutions, we had a budget allocation of 431,000, and that entire amount was transferred. Under households, the final allocation was 5.088 million, and of that, 4.309 million was spent, which is 84.7% spending, and the actual variance was 779,000 under households. For capital assets, under buildings and other fixed structures, our final allocation was 206.256 million, and the entire amount was spent. Machinery and equipment, we had 7.245 million, and that entire amount was spent. The one rand you see variance was just in terms of rounding for purposes of financials. Payment for financial assets, 247,000 final allocation, and that entire amount was spent. We can move on to the next slide, please. In terms of the audit general outcome, as Acting DG has said, we had an unqualified audit for the 2021-22 financial year. In terms of predetermined objectives, there were no material findings on the usefulness or reliability of the reported performance information for the selected program, that is tourism sector support services. And reported performance information is useful and reliable in all material respects. This was the pronouncement by the AG. In terms of financial statements, the AG pronounced that the financial statements present fairly in all material respects the financial position of the Department of Tourism as at 31 March 2022 and its financial performance and cash flows for the year ended. And in accordance with the modified cash standards and the requirements of the PFMA and the Division of Revenue Act. If we can move on to the next slide, please. Yeah, it should be noted that the irregular expenditure reflected for 21-22 emanates from findings of the AGSA from the previous cycle, from the previous year's audit. So there were no new irregular expenditure cases in the 21-22 financial year. However, the following areas require improvement in terms of the AGSA report, that is compliance with human resource management recruitment and supply chain prescripts and controls in terms of certain financial record keeping. These matters have been addressed in the audit action plan for the current year. Yeah, I think that's the end of my part of the presentation, Chair and DG.
Thank you, Mohit. Over to you, Didi Chinguenya.
Thank you, Acting DG. Good morning, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members, Acting DG and colleagues. My network is a little bit unstable, so I will request your permission to switch off the video. But can we then go to slide 9? Thank you. We need to go back to the beginning of corporate services. On my document, it was slide 9, but it is not on, yes, slide 8. Thank you. And let's go to the next one. We began, I don't know what is happening.
I think you might have to go to the slides that speak specifically to corporate management and not HR. So go back, sorry, Juanita, 2 slides. Apologies for this, Chair. I think there
is no problem.
One slide down, please, Juanita. I think it's slide 22. This one. Go back. One more. One more. Is this the right place?
This is the right place. Thank you, Acting DG. As reported, Honorable Members, by the CFO, we had a total of 16 output indicators for the financial year. And the first one was on the audit outcome, and Acting CFO at the time has already clarified that we have achieved the target, of an unqualified audit. The second output indicator was on the vacancy rate, and the annual target was to maintain a vacancy rate which does not exceed 10%. We were able to close the financial year with a 10% vacancy rate at the end of the financial year. On output indicator number 3, it is to deal with compliance with employment equity targets, and there were 3 targets. This is one of the indicators which was not fully achieved. However, significant work was done. Of the 3 targets, we were able to achieve the minimum of 3% for people with disability, where we closed the financial year at 4.6. We were also able to achieve the 91.5% Black representation. We closed the financial year on 96.3%. At the end of the financial year. However, on the women representation at SMS, the target was 50% representation. We closed the financial year at 46.9, with just a variance of 3.1. This, Honorable Members, remains a moving target, because all terminations that you have at SMS affect the target. At the end of the financial year, there were measures which we therefore adopted in terms of identifying position for reinforcing and focusing on the attraction and retention of women. We are happy that we have since achieved the target, but at the end of that financial year, we had not achieved it. On outcome indicator number 4, which is the implementation of the workplace skills plan, the target was 100% implementation. We have been able to achieve the 100% implementation. This is the target that has to deal with our skills implementation of training and development, where we focus on skills training, we focus on leadership development, including the implementation of internship. On output indicator number 5, the target was 100% implementation of the annual internal audit plan, and that target was achieved. Output indicator number 6 was on the implementation of the communication strategy. There were two targets. One target was the implementation of the communication strategy. That target was achieved. We adopted an implementation plan for the communication strategy, which was fully implemented. The second target was to review the communication strategy for the 2022-2023, and the strategy was therefore reviewed. On outcome indicator number 7, the focus was the percentage procurement for goods and services from both BBBEE, compliant enterprises, and SMMEs. There were two targets. The first target was to generate 100% expenditure on procurement from BBBEE enterprises. That target was achieved. The second target was to achieve a minimum of 30% procurement from goods and services from SMMEs. We were able to achieve, and we closed the financial year at 61.8% of expenditure. Outcome indicator number 8 was on measures to support tourism recovery, and the target was to embark on targeted procurement of commercial venues to support the tourism sector recovery, and we were able to achieve the target. Outcome indicator number 9 is on the payment of compliant invoices within the prescribed time frame, which is 30 days. The target was 100% payment of all invoices. We were able to close the financial year. This is the second target, which was not fully achieved. We closed the financial year at 95.5 payment of invoices. And the reason was that there were late submission of invoices by end users within the department. However, as program one, both corporate services and finance, we have worked towards ensuring that we strengthen internal control towards the achievement of the target. Outcome indicator number 10 was on the implementation of initiatives to promote reasonable accommodation. The annual target was 7, and these are measures which are geared towards the implementation of the job access strategy, where we are looking at issues of access for people with disabilities, and all the 7 initiatives were implemented, which ranged from issues of accessibility, reasonable accommodation, diversity sensitization, and profiling people with disabilities. On outcome indicator number 11, we wanted to implement measures or initiatives to promote gender equity. There were 8 initiatives, which were our annual target, and these are measures geared towards the implementation of the gender equality framework in the public service, where we are looking at measures to increase to create an opportunity to increase representation in the workplace, but we have focused on both gender as in men and women programs within the department, and we've also prioritized sexual harassment awareness amongst others. The target number 12 was on initiatives implemented to promote ethics and integrity within the department. there were 11 initiatives which were contracted upon. All of them were implemented. This is where we focus on measures on remunerative work, on financial disclosures. We've also had to amend our gift policy to promote ethics and integrity. We focus on anti-corruption and fraud. And anti-fraud, we focus on the code of conduct. Next one. If I could ask you to take me back to the slide that deals with HR information, please. Thank you. This is just the workforce representation at the end of the financial year. We had 88.5 of the establishment were Africans, colored were at 4.6, whites were at 3.7, and Asian at 3.3. And persons with disabilities, we had 21 at 4.6%. The next one. This provides representation per occupational band. You will note, honorable members, that we seem to have achieved women representation at all levels except two, which is senior management and the semi-skilled. At semi-skilled and discretionary decision making, we have a shortfall of two. So men are overrepresented by two employees. And at senior management, the challenge at top management, we seem to be doing well. At chief director, we seem to be doing well. And our challenge is at director level, where we have a variance of five. And this is where we are strengthening to ensure that we achieve we are then able to attract five to achieve the 50% representation that is therefore required in the type in the target reported earlier. Thank you, and back to you, Acting DJ.
Thank you very much. I think we're handing over to DDG Milan.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Acting DG. Good morning, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members, colleagues. I am presenting Program 2, Tourism Research Policy and International Relations, as presented by the Acting DG in the overall achievement. The program managed to achieve 11 of the 12 targets that we had for the financial year, taking it to close to 92% achievement, with one target, honorable members, that we did not fully achieve, although significant work was done. Then looking at the first output indicator, which speaks to our monitoring and evaluation reports, we targeted eight. We managed to achieve all eight of those. That included the State of Tourism Report for 2019-20, our quarterly tourism performance reports, the monitoring of the implementation of the norms and standards for the safe operation in the sector. The report was also developed. We also developed two reports on the impact of the COVID-19 on the tourism sector report. As a team, we are also responsible to monitor the implementation of the tourism sector recovery plan. And we targeted to develop three reports, which we did. And then in terms of the national tourism sector strategy, our implementation report was also successfully developed. Next slide, please. In terms of output indicator two, it speaks to the review of the tourism policy, and we targeted to have the green paper developed and ready, and Honourable Chair and Honourable Members, that is the one target that we did not fully achieve. We managed to develop the document, and it was submitted to the executive authority for consideration. Our target did include the sign-off of the executive authority, and by the end of the financial year, the sign-off was still being processed. I can just indicate that subsequently we did receive it, but by the end of the financial year, it was still in progress. In terms of output indicator number three, it speaks to the reports on the governance and performance of South African tourism. Honourable members might recall that for the previous four financial years, the monitoring of our entity, South African Tourism, was done within this program, and we did manage to develop the four reports for oversight purposes. Next slide, please. Output indicator number four speaks to our knowledge systems. Information and knowledge systems. We targeted two systems, and both of them were successfully completed. The first one speaks to the integrated tourism knowledge system, and the second one speaks to the data collection and verification that we targeted through the financial year. Next slide, please. Output indicator number five speaks to the work that we do on a multilateral level to advance South Africa's interests at regional and continental and global level. We target SADC, the African Union, BRICS, UNWTO, and the Indian Ocean Rim Associations. And we successfully participated in the relevant meetings and initiatives within those platforms. Indicator number six speaks to our outreach programs that we undertook to diplomatic communities, and we targeted four, and we managed to achieve the four as planned. Thank you. Next slide, please, Kunita. Thank you very much, Honourable Chair and Honourable Members. That then concludes Programme 2, and I'm handing over to the Acting DG for Programme 3. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much, DG Milan. Destination development, as indicated in the summary, Honourable Chair and Honourable Members, had 9 targets, and all of those targets were achieved with 100% achievement for the last financial year. Next slide, please. Our work, of course, comprises of destination planning, investment coordination, destination and destination enhancement initiatives. So for the first indicator, we have planned 5 destination planning and investment coordination initiatives. The first 2 of these were the piloting of the budget resort network and brand. And the second one was the incorporation of prioritized elements from our tourism spatial master plans into the one plans for Oar Tambo, eThekwini, Pixley Kaseme, and the Namakwa district. And both of these targets were achieved. Next slide. The next 3 indicators speak to our work in investment coordination. Honourable Chair, Greenfield, which are new projects, brownfield projects, which are existing projects that actually require additional support, and then we use various of these projects. Our pipeline of work on the Greenfield projects was accordingly delivered in the last financial year. Due to COVID, we also worked on distress projects that connect these projects with specific investors in the space. And of course, we did conduct 4 investment promotion platforms. Next slide. This work actually speaks to our work then in destination enhancement. Honourable Chair and Honourable Members would be aware that we have been supporting a infrastructure maintenance program in our 19 national parks. This program has been hugely successful in supporting both the product on the ground, but also actually in growing SMMEs.
We've had very positive feedback from the participants on the program in terms of how this has changed their lives. And also our SMMEs that have been involved in the program have also demonstrated success in terms of growing their businesses and achieving higher gradings in terms of the CIDB gradings. These gradings are important because the higher your grading, the more work you are able to actually source. And so the program has been excellent from the perspective of enhancing these national parks, but also from the perspective of supporting participants and SMMEs participating in the program. It then speaks to the work that we're doing on expanding our maintenance program into provincial assets. This work, as honourable members, to this financial year, the target for last year was actually achieved. If we could then proceed into the next slide. The last of the destination enhancement initiatives then is our work that has been done on community-based tourism projects. As Honourable Chair alluded to earlier on, we did meet the target of progressing the work in these 30 community-based tourism projects. I'm also happy to report that as of now, we would have appointed all of them will actually proceed into construction by the end of this current financial year. So last year's target of the planning work and progressing these through the pipeline so that we get them to construction was successfully concluded. The last target then speaks to our work on work opportunities. This is the target that is achieved through our work in both infrastructure and skills development, 3,826. And this target is basically from DPWI. I'm happy to say that in actual performance, the target was in fact exceeded. We achieved 5,328 work opportunities, and some of our projects that were unable to commence during the COVID period actually then did commence, and we were able to enroll a large number of youth in our skills development program. So that's what helped us also to then exceed the target. That concludes destination development, Honourable Chair and Honourable Members. I'm going to hand over to DDG Setswaba, and I will come back towards the end.
Good morning, Honourable Chair and the Honourable Members of the Select Committee. I'm going to be taking the Honourable Members through the performance of Programme 4, which is Tourism Sector Support Services. In terms of the number of incentive programmes that we were to implement to increase the tourism sector's contribution to inclusive growth, we had planned the Tourism Equity Fund and the Green Tourism Incentive Program. Regarding the Tourism Equity Fund, even under this year, the year under review, we were still under an interdict. We had planned that we will have 4 adjudication meetings wherein applications would be considered, but because of the the court interdict, we were not able to implement the TEF. However, we have ensured that the facility remains capitalized, hopefully to ensure that when the court case is resolved, implementation can start without any challenges. We worked with Treasury and the State Attorney in terms of ensuring that the capitalization is in line with the interdict. The Green Tourism Incentive Program, we were able to achieve more than we had expected. We were to have 4 adjudication meetings. We ended up having 11 due to the review of the processes. We can go to the next slide. domestic tourism scheme, we fully implemented it. On the number of programs to increase participation of SMMEs, we had planned to have 7 incubation programs. Out of the 7, we were able to implement 6 of our incubation programs. The 7th one, which is community-based enterprise incubation programs, we were not able to implement fully. If we go to the next slide. The reasons for not being able to achieve it fully, that is the community-based enterprise, is that it was a pilot project. We had anticipated that we will do 2 separate incubation programs, but when we realized that the 2 set of terms of reference were almost similar, we sought to join the 2 processes, but it also meant that we needed to go do a site inspection in terms of the selection of the community-based projects that we were to put into the incubation. That took us quite some time in terms of doing the preparatory work. But I must say that also that we are now at a stage where we have been able to appoint the service provider. They are on board. They are currently going around to the project that we selected in terms of doing needs analysis. Next slide. This one was fully implemented. We were able to the service provider was appointed. Unfortunately, at the time when we were putting the women-owned SMMEs together to kickstart the program, despite the number that was more than 225 that had registered to participate, we were left with 181 women who started the participation into the program. We were able to exceed the 225 in Gauteng, and we had to explain in terms of the target being 25, but we were able to get 47. That was our plan in terms of ensuring that we get more women to participate, so that if there are any dropouts, we will not suffer a low turn-up of the women-owned SMEs. Unfortunately, in other provinces, we were not able to get the 25 that had been targeted. We experienced dropouts, mostly some dropping out at the last minute. In the next slide, this program is still going on, members, in terms of providing the training, and it is a 2-year, 18 months a project. We are where we are left. We have in the meantime 202 women that are participating. There's a call for applicants to come through, so that we can be able to achieve our targets. The UNWTO Women in Tourism Pilot Program was fully implemented. It was launched in the 4th quarter, which made us to achieve the target. Next slide. The Service Excellence Program was also fully achieved. In terms of the implementation of the Tourism Monitors Program nationally, all provinces service providers were appointed, and implementation took place. It was only in Limpopo, if you go to the next slide, only in Limpopo where, despite us having run the process to appoint a service provider. We were not able to appoint at the evaluation stage. Some irregularities were observed, and we had to restart the procurement process. But currently where we are is that with the other provinces where the program is coming to a close or left with some few months to come to a close, we hopeful that we will be able to advertise the tender before the end of November, so that we can kickstart the coming financial year with full implementation of the Tourism Monitors program. Next slide. The program to capacitate tourist guides, this is the one where we were offering the Mandarin program. Only three provinces were left after we have covered the other provinces in the first phase. It went well. We were able to train in Mandarin tourist guides from Northwest, the Northern Cape, and Free State. The Food Safety Quality Assurance Program on the Skills Program as well, we had intended to implement it in KZN, Western Cape, and Gauteng. We were targeting 300 unemployed and retrenched youth. We were able to implement only in Western Cape and Gauteng. In the other province, which is KZN, we were not able to appoint a suitable service provider. We had run two processes, procurement processes to appoint, but we were unfortunately not able to find a suitable provider. We have now looked at the terms of reference to try and see where could be the gaps with our terms of reference. It is on the process of being advertised as well. Next slide. The Chef Professional Cookery, as well, we are targeted Northwest, Free State, and the Northern Cape, targeting 300 unemployed and retrenched youth. We were able to implement in the Free State and Northern Cape province. We were not able to implement in Northwest. We had run the process as well, but the recommended service provider could not be appointed due to some legal processes that the department and that service provider are involved in. And as with the others, we were also we were also advised that we may not proceed up until perhaps the issues that the service provider, recommended service provider, is has raised with us are fully dealt with. But we are at the stage where we are proceeding with implementation in the province that we were not able to implement. I think Chairperson, Honourable Chair, just to say that we have found a better way of making sure that we do not complicate our tender processes. The clapping together of the provinces meant that we have to go on a full scale and a tender, but for a whole lot of provinces. And when a tender process then doesn't yield the results, it affects a bigger margin of the implementation of the program. We have since repurposed together with the advice from the Office of the CFO to ensure that we embark on a process that will yield results. The planning in terms of the implementation starts with the procurement strategy that we need to apply. If we go to the next slide, the wine service training, we are targeted 252 unemployed and retrenched youth for KZN, Western Cape, and the Northern Cape. The program was implemented in two of the three provinces, that is the KZN and Western Cape. we identified that Northern Cape was identified and put into our APP after the planning stage. And when we were implementing, we were able to source out 252 unemployed and retrenched youth as planned, but only from KZN and the Western Cape. Next slide. The hospitality youth program on the food and beverage training. The program was implemented in 3 out of 9 provinces. This is the lesson learned in terms of clapping together all of the program and issuing out a one tender for all of our provinces. When the service provider could not be appointed for cluster 1 and cluster 2, we really fell behind in terms of the number of provinces that we were not able to implement the program for. And the service provider could not be appointed because even after we had run the procurement process to the full, we were met up by legal challenges in terms of the appointment processes. Again, this one we have sort of this disbanded. We will be going a new strategy in terms of making sure that when our processes do not yield results, they do not impact on all of the provinces that we had earmarked. Next one. The executive development program went well. We had put in 20 women. We've got 34 that are graduating tomorrow at UNISA. The 30 chefs as well went very well. We had one dropout, if I'm not mistaken, in the RPL process. The rest have been able to be certified for a qualification. We exceeded the target in terms of the 225 SMMEs to be trained on the norms and standards, and this is where we're targeting villages, townships, and smaller towns. The NTCE went well as well with Gauteng as our partner. It was held on the 25th to the 27th March in Nasrec. The educators development program as well went very well. We were able to implement in all 9 provinces. Thank you, Chairperson. I suspect this is my last slide. Gwanita? Thank you. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honourable Chair. I think that there is a version that we did send through to the Select Committee which spoke to the update on the Platfontein project. So with your permission, Honourable Chair, if I can just speak to where we are with the Platfontein project. We following the oversight visit with the Select Committee, we had further discussions with the technical team at the DBSA. Honourable Chair and Honourable Members who were part of the oversight visit will recall that the Platfontein property, which we had worked on previously, was a farmhouse that in fact pre-existing building, which we'd converted. What we then discovered was that with the rains, is that the soil in that area, of course, is a very clay soil. And a lot of the challenges that were experienced post the work that we had done on the refurbishment of the original facility was as a result of the movement in the soil. So the technical teams at this point in time have been looking at various solutions that allow us to properly deal with the issue of the clay soil and the issue of the foundations that need to be properly underpinned. Honourable Chair and Honourable Members, I've learned now working with infrastructure that there is always a solution that can be found, a technical solution. I think that the discussion that we're currently having is related to the various options and the costs related to that. So we now need to actually also match our technical solution with the available budget and the discussions then on the implications of where that process leaves us with the stakeholders in the community. So we're working on that. We do have a report from the technical team. The department is considering this. And we will then, of course, hope to go out on tender for a contractor early in the new year. Honourable Chair, I believe that that was the last matter that we needed to present to the committee. I think that I would also like to say in conclusion that we do appreciate and value the work done by the Auditor General, as well as our internal audit team. The department has found that the audit process has been very helpful to helping us to improve our systems of control in the department and in the final analysis then improve our service delivery. Honourable Chair and Honourable Members, that concludes our presentation. I will hand back to you, Honourable Chair. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Acting DG, and also the DDGs for the presentation of the programs. I will now invite honorable members if there are any questions. Honorable Maiman.
Thank you, Chairperson, for the opportunity, and greetings to you and honorable members, and also Ms. Shamina and her team this morning. just a number of questions from my side, Chair. The first one relates to the audit report. Of course, let's commend the department for the unqualified audit opinion. Of course, there was an area of emphasis of matter that was raised. This relates to the errors that necessitated the restatement of the financial information. It would be interesting just for the team to take us into confidence. What led to the errors? What led to those errors? Is there a possibility of recurrence? This is important given the fact that the expectation is that the audit governance committee definitely reviewed this financial statement before it was given to the auditor general to the audit. The second one relates to the issue around 1.8 million in regular expenditure, which reduces them to non-compliance with various CM processes. Is there any consequence management that has been backed up on? We hope that because now we have the new CFO, we'll be able to take into account the errors and not repeat them. did I hear Ms. Shamila saying that finally the policy review has been signed in this new financial year? Because at the end of the financial year, it was not signed. So I just want clarity around that, rather. That has finally been signed, because I guess there are a number of areas that are need to flow from this review process. the issue of the the killing of the German tourist in the Kruger National Park. What impact has it done in terms of our bookings in relation to our tourist targets? Because definitely, I guess there will be a negative consequences, particularly with regard to the coverage. Has there been any processes embarked upon to sort of mitigate the impact of that in the industry, particularly with regard to interaction with the other stakeholders in the form of cooperative governance, particularly the Minister of Security, whether there's been an intention that the department just to make sure that it is embedded into our tourism plans. The next one relates to whether the issue of the travel and tourism development index and its impact in terms of where our country is ranked, has it been embedded in the planning activities of the department? Because the rating that we occupy as a country with regard to tourism in that index is quite worrying. In relation to the staff establishment, what are the implications of the national treasury reduction of baseline, which includes the budget cuts within the composition of employees? And what are the plans to make sure that the 50% target with regard to the women representation in the senior management team is also achieved? And also the with regard to the ceiling of vacant posts, what are the plans to ensure that those posts that are vacant are filled? Then the issue of the challenges centered around SAA as an industry. Has there been any engagement with regard to mitigating the impact that this has had in terms of tourism? Because definitely it is a message that there will be some increases with regard to the cost of travel. Just to get a sense as to whether that has been taken into account. Another area of concern that relates to the issue of the leaf entitlement, leaf liability. It is a matter that was identified by the AG. What is the plan with regard to mitigating that leaf liability? Because the liability is quite huge. Is 124 million. What is the status with regard to the? I think at some point the DG for corporate services was suspended. Has that matter been resolved? Other than that, Chair, I think I'm happy with the. With the presentation that has been given, it must be appreciated. It gives us much more comprehensive details in terms of progress made with regard to those four programmatic areas. Of course, the only worrying factor is that program where only 50% of the targets are achieved. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you so much, Honorable Mema. Honorable Aplin.
No, thanks, Chair. I think I'm partly covered by the chairperson. I think you have covered some of the points that I wanted to talk about. You know, I'm a bit worried about the question of interns. I feel like, chairperson, we do train people in terms of interns. And then in the long run, we tend to not to consider them when there are vacancies available. You'd find that we have trained people in some of these departments and then would not consider them when the vacancies arise. So it's the question that I'm a bit concerned about, that at least some of those people need to be considered when it comes to the question of employment. Not there is no stats of interns, the number of interns which are being considered when it comes to the positions that are being available in some of these departments. And then the second question that I had was around the issue of tourism, which I think is a bit concerning. You know, the tourism is one of the very important sectors in our country in terms of economic development. But you'd find that a majority of the places that we have which attracts the tourists are not maintained enough. You would find the roads going around those places, the state of those places. For instance, you look at the question of Kunu. You'd find that slowly it's becoming unattractive because of the condition in which it is. I think we need to try by all means to make it a point that those places are being maintained so that they can be able to keep on attracting tourists, because that is one of the very effective sectors that attracts, is contributing towards the economy of this country. So we need to make sure that we do everything possible to ensure that we keep those places attractive to the tourists. Thanks very much, Chairperson.
Thank you very much. I think you're raising a good point on applicable to this approach of DTM, because we know that some of these issues cannot be resolved by the Department of Tourism. So how then do you use the DTM approach to address some of the challenges around tourism? For example, the roads that lead to tourism destinations. I think that's a point that the Honorable is making, the example of Kunu, for example. How does the DTM approach deal with such issues, bringing their departments and entities who are not necessarily in the tourism sector, but who can assist the tourism sector, such as the Department of Roads? So,
this meeting is being recorded.
Put less than wasteful expenditure, but also comment that there has not been any unauthorized expenditure. I'm also concerned about this issue of the TEF, the legal dispute around the issue of tea. It seems that there's slow movement. There's not much progress to or any update to what is happening. Because from my understanding is correct, I think this dispute arose, I think in 2020, if I'm not mistaken. Now, towards the end of 2022, we don't know how much in terms of what is happening. Relies on just on the outcome, the not contesting the matter. Yeah, if perhaps we could get an update. I think honorable, as I was indicating, because I was also interested on the update with regard to the issue of the safety and security of tourists, particularly the what happened in Mpumalanga. But already honorable my man has touched on that. Yeah, can we honorable acting teachers, we can get a response from you and the team. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, honorable chair and honorable members. Honorable chair, this is just a question of clarity from my side to honorable Moimang. My connection may not have been great, but I thought I heard honorable Moimang speak about leave liability. It's just a question of
leave entitlement.
Leave entitlement. Okay.
Yes.
Okay. So that's, then I did hear correctly. Thank you very much, honorable chair. I think what I'm going to do is to ask Mr. Maharaj to come in on the issues of the financial statements, the irregular expenditure, and then on the issues of fruitless and wasteful expenditure and leave liability. If we could then have DDG Milan come in on the issue of the policy review and where we are at present with the policy review process. And also DDG Milan, if you're able to perhaps speak a little bit to the airlift strategy. And if we could have DDG Satwapa then speak to the issues related to the TEF and broadly to the work that we are doing with the safety and security strategy. I will then address some of the other issues that have been raised. And DDG Ngwenya, if you could come in, please, to talk to the issue of the staff establishment and the filling of vacancies. Certainly to your question, Honorable Moimang, DDG Corporate Management was indeed on precautionary suspension, but she has returned to work and is back at her desk managing corporate management. So if we could then start with Mr. Maharaj and then DDG Milan, DDG Satwaba and DDG Ngwenya, and I will then add at the end.
Thank you, Honorable Chair and DG. On the first question from the Honorable Maimang, regarding the what led to the emphasis of matter in the AG's report, this is largely due to intangible assets that were incorrectly stated, largely relating to our software licenses. So that gave rise to the emphasis of matter. Regarding the 1.8 million rand irregular expenditure in terms of consequence management, that the two cases that relate to the 1.8 is are still being investigated. That investigation has recently concluded, and the recommendations were in the report, but at this stage that those recommendations haven't necessarily been conveyed to the rest of the department yet, because it was the report was recently concluded. But as a consequence, we haven't yet implemented any consequence management for the two cases related to the particular financial year. On the issue of leave entitlement, I think there's just a bit of confusion around this. The actual leave entitlement figure is 21.6 million, which is correct. That is for leave that has been accrued by officials, and at the point of preparing the financial statements as of 31 March, that is the leave days that had accrued to officials, and that would then be a liability in terms of our leave liability. I think the confusion is around the negative leave. The amount is actually 125,000 rather than 125 million. So this negative leave liability, just to explain, is when officials at the beginning of or in the early part of a calendar year actually take leave that they still have to accumulate. You know, in terms of the process, you accumulate leave. I think it's 1.25 days for every month's work. So if you happen to take leave that is more than what you'd accumulated, it results in what we call negative leave. But the provisions in terms of the leave policy across all governments is that you can take leave in advance. So when we do the declaration of the leave liability, we have to take that negative leave off the actual leave liability. So that's the explanation for the 125,000, and not it wasn't 125 million negative leave liability. In terms of the fruitless and wasteful expenditure, the 194 million that the Honorable Apleni speaks to is actually fruitless and wasteful expenditure emanating from a past period. To be precise, I think it was the 18-19 year. And that fruitless and wasteful expenditure is there was an investigation, there were recommendations, and now the labor relations issues are unfolding. And when that is concluded, this 194 million of historic fruitless and wasteful will be dealt with in terms of those recommendations and in terms of the outcomes of the Labor Relations Act. But at this stage, we cannot condone or write it off for the mere fact that the labor matters are still in progress. The actual fruitless and wasteful expenditure for the year under review, which is 21-22, was actually 125,000 rand, and we've recovered actually 21,000 of that, and 104,000 had to be written off because it was due to normal operational reasons, so you couldn't hold anybody accountable. Chair and DG, I think I've addressed those issues of finance related. Back to you, DG.
Thank you very much, Honourable Chair and Honourable Members. I think I'm next in the queue, as mentioned by the Acting DG. With regards to the policy review process, at the end, our target for the previous financial year, Honourable Chair and Honourable Members, was to finalise the green paper, get Minister sign off to start with the consultation process with the aim of having the white paper ready by the end of this financial year. And as I indicated, unfortunately, we couldn't get the process finalized in the previous financial year, so we couldn't get the executive authority sign off on the green paper. But we did receive it after the end of the financial year, and we have subsequently commenced with consultation, and we are really pushing very hard to have a draft white paper in front of both committees before the end of this financial year. So that is where we are. We are currently very much in consultation phase, and we hope really to have a draft with the portfolio committee and the select committee before the end of the financial year. With regard to the airlift strategy, Honourable Chair and Honourable Members, you might recall that as part of our tourism sector recovery plan, we listed a number of enablers that will assist us to enable the recovery of the sector. And one of those were the re-establishment of our airlift capacity. So we are really working very hard with the Department of Tourism to ensure that we not only maintain the existing and regain a lost capacity, but we also make sure that we spread the access to airlift across South Africa. And I'm sure honourable members would have seen that recently there was announcements with more airlift capacity between Cape Town and Durban, and also to Kruger to the Kruger National Park. So we are seeing some fruits, but we are still working very hard together with the Department of Tourism to build this capacity in terms of strategic routes, also based on demand where necessary. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you. Thank you very much, and Acting DG. Honorable Miman has asked a question regarding the impact on our bookings on our shores with regards to the unfortunate incident of the killing of the German tourist. In terms of the bookings, I'm not aware at DG if there has been a survey or a study with regards to the impact of the incident, but I can talk to the measures that we had taken to mitigate the decline of a tourist going to that area. And when the widow and the two other tourists were still in Mpumalanga, we were able to dispatch officials to implement our safety strategy together with the province and the local government. And they were able to go there and see them as a means of implementing one of the pillars of our strategy, which is to provide an aftercare support. And on the day that the widow was leaving, Minister had a meeting with them, met them at the airport as a continuation of the aftercare and support. And very fortunately, our engagements with the German ambassador really were able to give us the benefit of applying our strategy. The ambassador was present with the minister during that time on the last day when they were flying back, and was also present in the media conference that was held. But the feedback of the German ambassador was quite heartwarming because of how we were able to deal with the situation, and it really being very assuring that they regard South Africa safe still, that this was an isolated incident, but they will not be hammering us as an unsafe destination. It is because we had worked very close with the province. Minister was able to go to Mpumalanga. There were interactions with even the Minister of Police. Mr. Kelo went to Mpumalanga to address members of the public there. The MSC for responsible for economic development and tourism was on board as well. But most importantly, the communities and private sector were also on board. And the messaging had been to raise awareness of the benefits of tourism to the growth of our economy. That message really went through. When the Deputy Minister was in the area, I think early this month, there was a peaceful march that we had observed where members of the community were holding placards and really condemning the brutal killing of the tourists and really condemning a crime in the tourism space. And we believe that these measures that we had taken, implementation of our strategy with our partners, which is the police and the private sector and members of the community, have yielded confidence despite the unfortunate incidents. And we continue engaging with everyone, all the relevant partners, to ensure that South Africa is a safe destination. We are part of the North Joints, and we are currently planning to go into the festive season with the South African Police Services in terms of spreading the message and really raising awareness and ensuring that incidences of crime are lessened as people are preparing to go on vacation. The chair had raised an area around the TEF. Honourable Chair, it has been a long journey, long legal process that we have been engaged on with the Tourism and Equity Fund. And the Minister of Tourism, the SIFA, the Board of SIFA, and the Minister of Small Businesses, as well as the Minister of Trade and Industry, are respondents. All have been cited in terms of different issues that have been raised in terms of their contribution towards, or their mandate towards BBBEE. Our council of respective ministries have been talking to one another, have been following on the case in terms of making sure that we defend the imperatives of transformation. But currently, I had a message from our head of legal services. We have requested from our side our council to provide us with a legal advice on two issues, whether on the prospects of success in this litigation, also to provide us with advice on the process that we can follow to restart the implementation of the TEF. I'm advised that the legal opinion will soon be coming, and then we will be able to take a decision with regards to what route we are going to follow. But I must confirm that we have not put it aside, and it is still part of our responsibility as well, putting our heads together to ensure that this critical element of equity to Black people is taken care of. And that is demonstrated by us having taken legal advice, talking to the National Treasury, and taking efforts to ensure that we recapitalize the funds so that when a decision is taken, we are able to implement without any without any barriers. Thank you very much. That were two questions that were coming to my side. Thank you. Thank you, Jay.
Thank you, DDG Ngwenya. If you could perhaps respond to the question around interns and the staff establishment.
Thank you, esteemed DG. On the staff establishment, the National Treasury budget cuts were implemented in the 2021-2022 financial year. However, when we went for our bilateral engagements with Treasury, we then requested permission to reprioritize our budget towards funding compensation of employees. And that request was then approved, resulting in an injection of 33 million on compensation of employees for the financial year 2022-2023. From that budget, we were able to prioritize 48 positions. And in March 2022, top management approved a recruitment plan for the 2022-2023 financial year. We have commenced with the implementation of the recruitment plan, and over 50% of the positions have been finalized. And our current vacancy is now sitting at 7.9. We will be finalizing the bulk of the advertised posts in the third quarter. In terms of SMS representation, we have since achieved the target of 50% representation, honorable members. But beyond that, we have also prioritized or reinforced some SMS positions for filling by women, and we are continuing with the implementation. And we are hoping that by the time we conclude the financial year, we will then have achieved the target, but be comfortable to a point that termination of one or two will not necessarily result in the non-achievement of the target. In terms of the internship and the question from Honorable Aplain, we may not have achieved as intended, but it is an area that we are paying attention to in the current financial year. And as we appear at the next meeting, we will then be able to provide steps in terms of how many from the recruitment drive will have been appointed from the cohort of our internship. Thank you, Esteemed HOD.
Thank you very much, colleagues. Honourable Chair and Honourable Members, there are just a few remaining matters that I would like to address. I think that DDG Setwaba has adequately covered the area around safety and security. I would just like to make a few small additions. I think that at a political level, both the minister and the deputy minister have personally been engaging on matters of safety and security, both at a community level to ensure that communities are safe, as well as at the level of ensuring tourist safety. And our political principals have been working very closely with their various counterparts. With regards to the incident of the tragic killing of the German tourists, I think honourable members would have seen the press conference that was held shortly thereafter by our minister with the ambassador of Germany. And the ambassador of Germany has, of course, conveyed his appreciation for the caring nature of the South African government with regards to the incident that befell a citizen of Germany. I think that also further, just to indicate the confidence of the German market, is that the German leisure carrier Eurowings Discover is, of course, now running flights directly from Frankfurt to the Kruger International Airport, and that carrier is set to bring in 30,000 German tourists annually directly to the Kruger National Park. With regards then to the issue of the Travel and Tourism Index, Honorable Moy Mung, the department does indeed take this competitiveness index into consideration. I think in the 2019 competitiveness index, it's published every 2 years, South Africa was actually ranked 61 out of 140 countries. We are, in fact, I think the second in sub-Saharan Africa. We're ranked 54 next to Mauritius, which is ranked at 54. So our competitive advantage actually lies in our natural resources. We are at rank 15 of 140 countries in terms of our natural resources. And our cultural resources and business travel are ranked 23 out of 140. The country is indeed concerned about the issue of safety and security, which is the one element that, of course, we are addressing as a collective government to improve our rankings. And then I also would like to say, in terms of our World Heritage Sites, we're ranked 16th out of 140. These are important rankings in terms also of how the country is viewed. We do use this competitiveness index in terms of the work that we do. So there is alignment then between how we prioritize, for example, those areas that we require improvement on. But also there is alignment in terms of what is our competitiveness advantage and how that is marketed and sold as a country. So it certainly does factor, Honorable Moy Mung, into the work that we're doing both as a department and as South African tourism. With regards to the question then of maintenance, we do, of course, think that maintenance is a critically important area of work. It is the reason, Honorable Apleni, that we have, in fact, invested in maintenance in our national parks, and that we are now expanding our work into provincially owned tourism assets. Honorable Chair, you are quite right that we are incorporating the elements of maintenance as mentioned by Honorable Apleni with regards to the roads and the general upkeep of areas into the work that we're doing in the DDM approach. So in our engagements with the various municipalities in the development of one plans, we are ensuring that the tourism areas or precincts are in fact incorporated into the work being done on the one plans, and that future work, which includes maintenance of roads and of tourism precincts and actual tourism products, are then factored into the infrastructure plans that are contained in the one plans, and therefore factored into the work that is being done by all three levels of government. So from a planning perspective and from a corporate governance perspective, we are coordinating our work through the one plan work being done at a municipal and district level to ensure that the future kind of elements of maintenance and infrastructure are then addressed. Honorable Chair, I do believe then that the department has responded to all of the questions that have been posed to date by Honorable Members and the Honorable Chair. Thank you, Honorable Chair.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Acting DG. I just want to establish if members have follow-up questions. No, it seems not. Let me take this opportunity then to thank and appreciate the tabling of the annual report 2021-2022. We really appreciate and you have adequately responded to all the questions by members. We really appreciate. There was an indication, I think, from DDG Malang that the department will be tabling. If I'm not mistaken, the pen paper. Just wanted to indicate perhaps it will be have to be next year, because next week it's going to be our last meeting, but we'll be meeting with another department, DTIC, which will be our last meeting for the year. I heard earlier from a committee secretary before the start of the meeting that the minister could not attend because she's ill. I would like on behalf of the committee to express our wishes for a speedy recovery, but also Honorable Dango has indicated our WhatsApp group, he might have picked up the virus at the KZN, taking Parliament to the people program. We also wish him a speedy recovery. I would at this stage then request the department after thanking you. Maybe if you have some closing remarks, and then we will release you so that we can then deal with the internal committee matters. Thank you so much, everybody. Your closing
Thank
remarks.
You very much, Honourable Chair and Honourable Members. Just a very brief closing remarks, Honourable Chair. We also wish Honourable Dango a speedy recovery, and we will convey the wishes of the committee to Minister for a speedy recovery. I think just a small point of clarity with regard to the green paper, Honourable Chair. At the moment, the green paper is in consultation, public consultation. So we will then, as the department, bring the green paper to the select committee once that public consultation period has been concluded, so that we're able to present to the Honourable Chair and Honourable Members the outcome of the consultation process, and then to explain the process going forward. But thank you very much, Honourable Chair. It's always a pleasure to engage with yourself and with the Honourable Members, and thank you for the opportunity to present our annual report.
Thank you so much to you and the team. You are now released. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Chair.
Thanks.
Thank you, Chair.
Okay. The Honourable Members, it has been indicated by the Committee Secretary at the start of the meeting that we have quite a number of apologies. That then means we will be unable to take any decision in terms of adopting the minutes and other issues that need a decision. So we will then defer the minutes to the next meeting. But for purposes of announcement, especially with the members being on the platform, that this matter that of the international study tour that we've been pursuing, I think since July, August. Just an update is that firstly, we had in the identified China, Indonesia, and Singapore.
Apologies, Chair, I just got disconnected. It was a struggle to get back.
Oh, okay. Sorry, I didn't even know that you had disconnected. Sorry.
Can just start the brief.
Oh no, no. I was updating the honourable members about the international study tour. That initially we had agreed on three countries: Indonesia, China, and Singapore. But there has been delays from the countries that we identify in terms of responses. Later, we got a response from China that because of COVID-19 measures, they would require the delegation to be quarantined for 10 days. And that if any of the members of the delegation show positive results for COVID-19, so the entire delegation would be requested to leave the country. So we felt that to quarantine for 10 days, that would be too much. So we decided to cancel then China and perhaps replace it. There was a suggestion to replace it with South Korea. Again, there was a delay in terms of response, but later South Korea indicated that there are two other committees that would be visiting. So they declined our invitation, our intention to visit the country. So we then agreed that let's then stick to the two countries, Singapore and Indonesia. Later, Singapore indicated that the timing is not good because during that period, the parliament or the country will be on holiday. We were left then with one country, which is Indonesia. Yesterday, we received information that they also saying the same thing that is said by Singapore, that the timing is not good because they will also, parliament will be on recess during that period. So meaning that we won't go anywhere then in January. So we thought that let's update the honorable members. We are convening a management committee meeting immediately after we adjourn the meeting and discuss the way forward, and we will then brief the committee from time to time, including next week, which will be the last meeting of the committee. So I don't know if there are any comments before we formally adjourn the meeting.
Any South American country, Chair?
I think the reason that we kept on saying, okay, let's say two or one, as the others were declining, we observed the delays in terms of responses. So we're of the view that even if when we replace those countries with other countries now, we don't know how long they will take to respond. So we didn't want to take that chance, maybe of saying, okay, let's look for another country other than the three. The experience is that this issue started in August. We are only, I think yesterday was the 21st. Since August, these people have been aware, Indonesia has been aware that we intended to visit the country in January. Only responded yesterday, even though they gave us some projects to visit, because we were hopeful, because they were one country that even gave us the sites or projects to visit. Now all of a sudden they say the timing is not good. So we thought that maybe we should not even try another country at this stage, targeting for January. So that's why we thought that maybe let's adjourn this meeting and that you and I remain together with the staff and then discuss the way forward. Honorable members, the meeting has then come to the end. Thank you very much for your attendance and participation. in the results. So we'll now have a close a session, which is a management committee meeting.
Oh, thanks, sir.
Thank you so much. Okay. Honourable members, when we received then this information that we won't be able to go to any country in the January, unfortunately, is unable to join the meeting because hello?
I'm listening, sir.
Oh, I thought
I'm just going to we've asked him to remove himself. They haven't done so yet. I will just manually then just remove them because the Parliament TV channel was also on the platform. So I'm just going to